life, universe, and everything. So settle in, get comfortable, and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Mick and Sylvia.
I'm Sylvie Avery, and welcome to Spirit Work. For the next hour, we'll be bridging the gap between the physical world and the afterlife when Mick's incredible gift of deep trance channeling brings us Gregory Hay, and he will communicate with us throughout the entire program. As usual, he will borrow Mick's body to bring us information that will expand your knowledge about life on Earth, life after death, and life in other dimensions. Actually, if you would like to join us with a question, hang on, the studio there calling in. If you would like to join us with a question in the US and Canada, it's 888-815-9756. And international callers, it's 001-530-876-3222. The US and Canada numbers are toll-free, but international calls you have to pay for. It's not a reading star situation for those new to the show. It's basically discussions about anything that you think a spirit guide would be able to tell you in a general way to do with our existence, basically. So if it's general, then everybody can gain something from the program. So we are here every Sunday at 6 p.m. GMT. 1 p.m. EST and 10 a.m. PST. And if you'd like to know more about us, we suggest that you go to our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com, and at spiritsworkradio.com as well. But we're okay now. Are we okay with everything now? So, okay.
Hey, that's why I'm conscious in this first bit.
Yeah, you can press all the buttons.
So that if anything else happens, then I can sort it out.
Yeah.
Anyway, now, as Sylvie said, I'm a deep trance medium, which means I'm a pure channel for the spirit world, enabling clear, hopefully concise communication from those who continue to walk with us and who try to look after us. In this way, each week on our show, Sylvie has a conversation with our spirit friends so they can give us the benefit of their wisdom, and as a result, we can gain a different perspective on life, which means having choices and options we may never have realized were available to us. When I go into the deep trance state, I will not know of anything that happens in the physical state until the spirit team bring me back, so that you don't have any interference from my pathetic mind or while Gregory is using my body. And so I'm going to do that right now. And goodbye for now.
Okay.
Thank you.
Lovely.
Bye.
Let's hope it all carries on while you've gone, because I won't know what to do. And I'll just tell you a little bit about Gregory, who is the spirit guide that will be speaking to us. He's a spokesperson for a group of spirits of greater intelligence called the White Cloud Group, who consist of eminent scientific minds of all description. They've come to help us to understand the nature of our existence and hopefully steer us toward a more harmonious future. They are an educational group responding to a need by those of us who are searching for answers but didn't know who to ask. They are also responding to a need from our planet, because it's essential that we change our attitude towards it, and hopefully this will help. So the information that they bring will help us to look at our world with a different perspective, basically. So as you may know, if you join us regularly on the show, we ask for suggestions of topics you would like us to discuss. And also, if you haven't got a whole topic, then just questions. You can send me questions at any time to enq@spirit-teaching.com, and I will put them to Gregory for you on the program. So it's, like I say, general questions, and this is what we're here for, basically. This is what the group was formed for, to actually not come and preach to us, but to actually enable us to have answers beyond the constriction of our human minds, basically. And so the more that you actually ask us what you want to know, the better, because it really does feel that we're getting somewhere, and that basically, you know, we're all the same. We just sometimes think, wow, you know, that's a really good question. Why didn't I think of that? And everybody's got one of those. And sometime last week, we spent the whole program on one question. And actually, we're carrying on from that this week. We're going to start with that and go on to other questions that follow in that vein. And they were from Chris of Devon. And we thank you for that, Chris. And we've also got lots of other questions here from other listeners. Nina, Cynthia, Chris from Oregon. Oh, Pam, Don, lots of people. And but we'll see how we go. Like I say, if I don't get through them this week, they will be there next week. Okay. Well, hello, Gregory.
Hello, friends. Hello, hello, one and all. With love and light, blessings as ever.
Okay. So do you like to talk about anything beforehand, or do you want me to go straight into it?
No, my dear friend, I feel that you should just plow ahead.
Okay. Yes. Well, it's about last week, but I have to start by saying, you know, last week we were talking basically about the spirit world and how you actually manifest things in the spirit world. What's it like? I mean, we could talk about this forever. It's just fascinating. And like, once again, I think it's down to the questions, what we ask you, what we can get out of you, you know?
Yes, of course.
It's just so interesting for us. And basically, it was really funny because you said last week about having how you can interact with animals very closely. And you said about having interacted quite closely with horses. And we had an email from Don in Oregon saying how funny that was, basically, or ironic. Typical British understatement of being run over by horses. Well, I know that's not what you quite meant, but that was funny. If you think about it,
yes,
you have interacted rather closely with horses, but unfortunately it was their hooves, wasn't it?
In physical life, yes. Actually, I never rode one in physical life. I was quite frightened of them. And in actual fact, of course, being that I was run over by them simply because I didn't see them and they didn't see me, that because we didn't have streetlights in those days, you see. I know that there were some kinds of lighting, whale blubber, I am understanding, that was used at the time, and that in actual fact, all of that was really, of course, in the places where some little amounts of light were needed. But in the main, we actually used the moon and stars. Now, in actual fact, the night that I passed was quite simply one of the wettest days and whole times, really, of our side of life at that particular time, which was why it was that I was in that state, I suppose.
Yes. That's interesting. I never thought about that, about the lighting situation.
Well, yes, quite so.
I mean, that coach that ran you over was going a long way, wasn't it? It was a mail coach, wasn't it?
Yes, that's right. Yes, and it was actually travelling, I understand, to Leicester.
They had lights on the coach, didn't they?
Yes, that's right.
But not in front of the horse.
No, just little wick ones that had oil in them, in the bottom of them.
That's fascinating.
And that was animal oil. Mm. Yes, quite so.
Okay.
So the whole situation then of interacting with them is really about how you assimilate with a creature, you see.
Yeah.
You remember the story that I had told of my interaction with the squirrel.
Yes, that's
some time before I passed.
Yes, that's on YouTube. That's on a video on YouTube if anybody wants to watch that.
Yes, I understand so. But the point is that in the respect of the squirrel's gift to me, as I had gifted to it in saving its life during its physical state, what actually happened was that it shared its interaction and what that saving of its life actually meant. I think that you will find this interesting, that in the spirit world, when I re-met with this little squirrel friend, in the Halls of Learning, what actually happened was it came out of the book that I was actually reading. I was not really reflecting upon the squirrel's life at the time. It was just that the squirrel that I had managed to resuscitate from its present state that I had found it in that it was somehow injured. I did not know exactly how, because it was not marked upon it. Mm. And that what happened was it presented itself out of the book that I was reading. Such is the state of the Halls of Learning. That is, that when you alight a particular book, then it can become that you are then able not just to read the book, but that the book itself becomes alive. It's animated, three-dimensional or four-dimensional characters that actually come out of the book and show themselves as holographic images or as real-time events that had been portrayed in that being's life. Now, this is so that as a pure spirit being, naturally, of course, you cannot actually attain and be a part of, be actually exploring the Halls of Learning unless you are of a specific vibration, so that no negative energies can be within the realms of the Halls of Learning, you see?
Yeah.
So that's understood then to begin with. And then what I actually found myself was that in opening the book of Squirrel, I was actually really simply enchanted by the beings themselves. In a sense, I suppose, reflecting upon my own human physical journey and the different interactions I'd had with various animals, not just this squirrel, but mice and the like. I actually shared my little dwelling space with a mouse, in fact, which I kept feeding for many years, much to, I believe, that my father would have been quite disgusted as he had continuously berated this phantom mouse for eating our food and that kind of thing periodically. He didn't know that I was actually the one who was feeding it and entertaining it in our little dwelling, you see? And so what actually, my point really was that not a short while after the squirrel had actually shown himself and all of the little family that was about, it became that the squirrel actually enabled for me to understand real aspects of squirrel life, being that it managed to enable me to share its life experience in a complete way. That was that actually the little squirrel had actually lent to it, to me, its whole innate memory of its conscious life, so that I would be able to not look at all of the different things, I suppose, that it did as in a voyeuristic approach, but actually immersed myself within its character so that I could really understand where it was coming from.
Yeah, how it felt about things, how it saw things, sensed things, and understood things.
And how communication worked as well from it to other beings, not of its makeup, not of its making. When it was interacting with other animals, with birds, for example.
Mm.
And that in actual fact, the squirrel's lot wasn't an isolatory existence, but was something that was actually shared to a certain extent. I understand that at times different birds would steal the squirrel's hoard that it had brought about, you see, ready for the winter. And that at times there were great altercations between squirrels and the little birds or of the wood or whatever, you see.
Fascinating. Okay. Well, actually, I was going to start somewhere else, but now you've been talking about animals. I will just ask this question because, you know, like last week we were talking about animals, obviously, like I just said.
Yes, yes.
And Pam from Oregon, got a lot from Oregon today, Wanted to know, are there any bugs or animals who just exist with no conscious thoughts, memories or ideas?
Yes, there are, and they are generally bacteria and virus. Well, they have not exactly idea. They have their conscious living condition, which is constantly inebriated by their instinctive survival. So when a human being or animal or whatever has a systemic virus or something like that, or induces some kind of bacterial rage within itself, it's not personal. It's not that the virus knows that it's doing something that is detrimental to you as a physical being. It's actually doing something that is positive to it and does not have the faculty of realization that instigates something of a deep negative resonance. And in actual fact, we have noted that the virus does not feel the enragement by the human sufferer or the animal sufferer or whatever of what it's succumbing to. So that means to say it is not of spirit.
Yeah.
You see? Mm-hmm. And in this respect, that is a part of the cycle, I suppose, in a sense, of the instigations of some parts of evolution in a physical sense. So when you are looking at different bugs and that kind of thing, it will depend upon the actual species itself. Ladybirds, ladybugs, or whatever it is that you call them, the little black or red spotted varieties of creatures who eat aphids, are in actual fact thought beings. They have thought, they have feelings, they have idea, they see spatial awareness, they can see the aphids for which they harvest. They can see different other creatures. They react with them, and they have their spatial awareness is not just about that, but actually about, as in common within all other bugs, as in insects, that they can have relationships, meaningful relationships with their opposite number.
Well, that's interesting that you say that, because we've got lots of ladybirds in the house at the moment. Ladybugs, whatever you want to call them. It all depends where you are in the world.
I understand.
They've come in for the winter. They're on these little recesses around the house. They're quite pretty, actually.
So wouldn't you?
We've left them.
If you had a chance, then.
Yes, they're all over the place.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
You have a warm house, a warm dwelling. So it's a perfect place for them to winter.
But they don't normally.
But my point is, they don't normally, but they knew it was going to be a harsh winter for them. That's why they came in.
But some of them aren't really living, though, because it's too hot. Anyway, I digress. No, some of them are dying, in other words, Gregory.
No, not at all. No, they're just in a semi-comatose state.
Oh, okay.
So then when they become that they have retracted their legs and they are all... they're not dead.
Put them in a box, shoebox or something, with it, and leave it open with some straw in or something? No, I'm serious, because they don't look too good around the house.
Pad them down with cotton wool, my dear friend.
Put
a little candle in so that they can see at night.
Okay, I know there's a certain person in Oregon that's absolutely cringing at the moment.
Yes, no, I understand that.
Okay.
But my point really is that because they have relationships and because they court one another and they have meaningful relationships, which actually can exist for a number of years. But that's only very specific varieties. It may become that in exactly the same thing in common with birds, that sometimes if a bug, let's say, it may be a stag beetle or something like that, the female stag beetle can sometimes become the subject of another male stag beetle's avarice upon her, purely and simply because she has already mated with another, and that they can actually become infuriated by it. And so, I'm not going to say they bite that they would bite her head off or something like that, but actually would mate with her again in order to try to make it so that their genes are, in a sense, that their genes are then producing the offspring that the female then lays the eggs of, you see?
Yes, okay.
In exactly the same way as can interact and happen with birds.
Okay, right. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Okay, we're going to go back to the spirit world now.
Very well.
Okay, this is from Chris in Devon. Thank you, Chris. He, by the way, says gratitude for another lovely show, and thank you for my opportunity of interaction and insight with Gregory and the White Cloud Group.
Yes.
And he also says, I must sympathise with Gregory in recognising the difficulty in defining such situations, but within the confines of the English language that you have to hand, basically. So that's a challenge in itself, isn't it?
Yes, okay, I believe it would be more difficult in Spanish.
Oh, very funny. Okay. Right, he says, if I understand correctly, you have to concentrate, everybody, when the vibration of human being is raised through death into pure conscious state, it is recalled back into the infinity and void of that person's spirit state. The spirit being a void then would have no persona except that which has been placed upon it by human consciousness.
That is not true.
Okay, well, let's go from there.
So my point is that, my dear friend Chris from Devon, is that you are accepting the plausible, perhaps, reasoning of Buddhist monks when they say that all spirit have to have physical human life in order to gain an attitude, in order to gain a persona. And that before or beyond human physical life, spirit are just empty and void. That is not what I mean at all. The situation to do with consciousness is that consciousness is outside and beyond human physical form or mind that interprets it or that enables it to be in existence in your reality. You have to understand that human mind consciousness is purely and simply the vehicle of expression and interaction at this present time within the dimensional state at which you adhere, at which you are breathing, at which you are accepting. Now, for some human beings, their conscious state may well be derived from not just the physical presence and its three-dimensional surroundings, but also from the fourth or fifth dimensions of non-physical reality, and perhaps many other energies of that in between. Now, oftentimes what actually happens to human beings who get caught up into this other energy is that they become egotistically eccentric, you see? And what actually happens then is that they define themselves as being outstanding, as though they are beyond time, beyond physical state presence, and therefore must have ascended themselves, you see?
Yeah, but like you've said before, if you were ascended, you wouldn't know.
Exactly.
Okay, but
that's my point, but I'm talking here about the reticent angles of human species and their interaction with that kind of sense of feeling, is that instead of just exhilaration and bliss in which they would happily bathe in, what human beings tend to do is then laud that as being something ulterior to and then something reachable as another defining state. Whereas what I'm saying is that's just a natural part of God, a part of what you as a being are. So when we and you are looking to define self beyond human physical state, what you must remember is that before you came to have physical life, your spirit was not a void. your spirit has been in existence for millions and millions of years before and beyond the earth ever existed. Because your spirit is manifestly part of that which is God, part of that which is the abundant creation of the universe.
But we look at that as being a void because it's...
Because you can't contemplate it at this present time, because when you try to, you are using the anachronistic physical mind, the way in which physical mind interprets everything, which means that it puts it on a hierarchical ladder. And when you try to create that, recreate it in mind, simply mind cannot manage the concept of beyond this physical state. I'm not rubbishing anything.
Oh,
I'm
no.
just simply saying that, in actual fact, before there was mind in human physical state, spirit consciousness was, in a sense, it's like the difference between an angel and an earthworm, in a sense. When you are looking at what the human psyche and mind are trying to interpret is as you as an earthworm trying to interpret an angel, which is your spirit. You see?
Okay, so before, like, okay, well, let's talk about you, because
you can't
talk about anybody else because they're not here to answer. So
I understand.
Before you had a physical existence, you were already doing things in the halls of learning and all of that sort of thing.
Yes. I did not have the persona of Gregory Hay because I wasn't born yet.
Yes.
That didn't come until 1705.
Yes. So give us an idea of the sort of things that happened then. And
my interaction at that point as a pure spirit being was really still as a meeting and greeting, in a sense, energy, but that my energy was really about trying to make well those who had passed with disruptive lives. Disruptive as in the beings that passed with great failures, so that they actually felt that they had not achieved.
Okay. All right. Which is, you've said before many times, which is part of the reincarnation thing, because you have said that many people, especially people now who have found themselves on their spiritual pathway, probably because they used to do things like this in the spirit world and had that, you know, essence to bring out.
Yes.
They used to do that sort of thing and help people returning from the earth and or being a guardian or guide or helper to people of the earth plane.
Yes.
But not ever having had a physical life. So, but that is why that they feel such an affinity with that feeling or time period.
Yes, that's right.
Or person or whatever.
Because of the immersion that happens at the time.
Okay. But when you were doing that, what form did you have?
Well, what tends to happen is that as a pure spirit being, you can borrow the forms or persona of other beings so that you don't just show yourself as a bright light.
Okay. So you can still manufacture form even if you haven't had a physical form on Earth ever?
Yes, absolutely so, because of the fact that when you are talking about pure spirit, without having engaged with human form, in a sense of having a life through it, means that the energy level is completely different and is much faster. So that means to say, if I, as I did, want to negotiate my way in helping other beings, I realized very quickly over many thousands of years prior to this that I couldn't do that unless I had some kind of persona, so that at times I would introduce myself as a being, as an animal who had, and so that animal had enabled me to borrow its conscious state because it had been done with, and it had managed to morph its own conscious and spiritual journey beyond its physical matter self. And so that had meant that it had no longer need of its conscious state as it took back with it to the spirit world after it had passed, which is exactly the same thing that happens to human beings. Not to say that that happens immediately, or not necessarily within 1,000 years of the physical passing. It might well be that the conscious state of a human being, for example, may exist as a coat upon that being's spirit for thousands of years, if there were many situations that it had to overcome or propagate from, you see. But it may well be equally that it doesn't have to do that, and perhaps that maybe it chooses to do that because it can then help through its own persona and character it had created when in physical life, and that it continued that consciousness journey unabated, as though because perhaps it was very a being who was very happy in its skin, you see, and didn't want to leave it.
I guess in a way we... In a way, stretch of the imagination, but we sort human beings almost take on a different persona when we're talking to children or
absolutely,
you know, small animals, or
yes.
You know, puppies, kittens, yes, whatever, yes. To be accepted,
nurturing,
yes, a nurturing thing. So
yes.
So it just means really it's a step on from that if you're in the spirit world and you want to come across to somebody who is, you know, is going to be fearful,
yes.
It's just probably a natural progression if you've already done that to
yes.
be able to.
Fearful or unknowing, really. Ignorance brings fear, doesn't it? So that oftentimes becomes the case in human physical state. Much of the fear is in the unknowing of tomorrow or the unknowing of what this feels like, what that feels like. The number of people who are fearful of an operation, even though they're not actually going to be conscious during it.
Yeah. Okay. See, I'm going to read this. We've probably answered
read the rest
to
of
a
it.
Certain extent.
Yes,
this,
yes.
But
let's
it's an
that.
Interesting aspect
yes,
that we need to cover. Chris says, what I find difficult to explain is that within the infinite state of total beingness of spirit, how can a thought, aspiration, or free will form from such a pure state?
From such a pure state, what?
Of being one. Okay, all right. Okay, hang on a minute. I've missed a line.
Always.
So he says about what once human consciousness has been released, we're going back, and then only the void remains. Well, you've said it's not a void that remains
yes,
anyway.
Yes.
I would simply exist in a state of beingness without question or concern. In a sense, I would be one with God in being one with my spirit.
That is true.
Okay. What I find difficult to explain is that within the infinite state of total beingness of spirit, how can a thought, aspiration, or free will form from such a pure state? So you...
Yes, but what I'm saying is that that doesn't mean to say that all is written or that all is said and done. It means that even as a pure spirit, when you are in that loving beingness, you will still find that there are attractions toward different beings, different situations, heartfelt, break-your-heart moments when children are taken to our side of life through no other means other than violent avarice or misjudgment or whatever it is from other human beings.
You see, just dropping shall we say, everything that you've brought back with you from this earth's journey, doesn't mean to say that then you are at total beingness.
No, absolutely not.
So, okay.
There's still going to be lots and lots for you to do.
Oh, absolutely, yes,
because
this is it.
After all, you will have to, even when you're wafting in this wonderful beingness, it may well be that is something that others don't see about you because perhaps there may be something else that you have omitted or that you have simply forgotten about.
But I always see it like being, you know, when you always want to achieve here, we always want to achieve to do better at whatever.
Strive
and then
to,
and then when we get there, it doesn't feel...
It doesn't hit the mark.
No.
It's not the same cup of tea.
Absolutely. We want to keep striving for more, for more. Yes. Well, you know. I presume that's what it's like when we get to the spirit world, really, you know, that we're never going to be satisfied with our, you know, searching pathway for, well, we don't really know what, do we? We just, we're pulled, we're drawn, like we are here.
Yes.
But it's our spirit that's driving us, isn't it?
Yes, that's right. But what happens in the spirit world is that it's that gift of service toward others that tends to drive all spirit.
Yes.
And that, as a complete no feeling of self in reward, but just the manner of service to someone else, to another being. Being there for them, being there to help, to even stepping over an issue or a situation or seeing another perspective of it, which then enables that conscious mind or that form of consciousness to be able to not be afraid.
Mm. You see, this point of it, and I think we've really been covering this already, but I am going to say it.
Yes.
He says, surely if I once existed or do exist as void and an infinite state of being, I would not come to question myself as being something else or have aspirations to be this thing or that thing. I would simply seek nothing and be that which I already was for eternity and never question it.
Yes.
Yet I find myself here in human form. Why?
Exactly. Why did you bother?
Well, yeah.
My point
because,
is,
well, the thing
because
is,
because it's beautiful. It can be.
Yeah, because it's been a learning experience.
Yes.
And you met us.
Yes.
You met us. No, yes. Seriously.
And my point really is that in order to have the learning experience, the nurturing, it wasn't that you have to ask the question why, but really to see question at all that is asked by others, which you would perhaps not have been confronted with in the non-physical world of a sort of a state of bliss. If you find in your state of bliss that suddenly there becomes a question, I wonder why this is. Why is it that so many life become lost like lemmings over a cliff on a certain matter or question? How can this be and you not feel their suffering or that you not feel because spirit are inherently loving as a part of the inherent state of beingness means that you are always going to be questioning on matters of these discordant effects from physical life. So in a sense, it's a natural progression of spirit, pure spirit, to sometimes want to actually sample the state of it themselves so they may understand why.
Hmm. Okay. So,
and then can pass those matters on, you see.
Yeah. Yeah. So if the spirit is a sovereign, this is Chris again, if the spirit is a sovereign spark of prime creator, does the spirit then have access to memories of its first original conception millions of years ago and its infinite existence prior to it becoming an individual spirit?
Yes. In a word, yes. The problem is that when you are, however, in human conscious physical form, what tends to happen is that these become very difficult to access.
Well, he says, how does the spirit process and manifest these memories outside of linear understanding? So how would you
do it? To within linear understanding, not outside of, but well, to within it. Because what happens outside of linear understanding is that it's a kind of a quantum understanding. It comes in from many different avenues of that spirit's makeup, as if that spirit was fractionated across the universe. But in actual fact, it isn't. It's just because there are not the boundaries and existent borders of spirit consciousness as do exist when you are spirit having a human physical existence. Because as a human physical existence, you are compartmentalized, you are bordered, you have barriers, yes?
Mm.
Ignorance drives the barriers, sometimes deep into the recesses of the conscious physical mind. And that is what tends to become the laboring cycles, the big boulders in front of your pathway.
So, another question of Chris.
I hope that's good.
So, if Gregory was to come back to Earth, so, okay, let's forget the reincarnation not being a fact. But if Gregory was to come back to Earth, what potential would he choose for himself, and when would he choose to return?
No, I would not choose potential. That is inaccurate in a sense. Potential, that's like saying, oh, well, I want to be a ballerina when I come back, so I'll choose that little girl there because she's got nice twinkly toes and a strange sort of look about herself or whatever.
Okay,
I'll join with that one. That wouldn't be the case because the being hasn't formed. So what you have to remember is that when you as a pure, beautiful spirit join with a collection of cells, it might be that collection of cells doesn't make it.
Yeah. Okay.
Into physical life.
So what would you? Okay. So let's rephrase this then. What would you want to be? Where would you want to be? And what would you want to do? Basically, what would you want to do with your life? Hopefully, let's say that if this.
What would I want to do?
If it was possible for you to have a plan in your mind, well, I'm going to come and do this.
Well, I'm not quite sure, really, because the matter is moot because I have seen what other people do. Yeah. I have looked through the marches of history for thousands of years and observed the many different lives. And I cannot say that I would really want to have that one. I would say, I suppose, even in looking at princesses or princes and seeing the loneliness that sometimes comes upon them or the inequalities that they see as a part of their right of progress of physical life, which actually brings great pain and suffering. It's a bit like people hankering after being Egyptian princes or pharaohs or some such thing as that, when in actual fact most of them would behead someone and not think twice about it. So I do not lack luster over other people's voyages of their own enterprise.
Yeah.
I would have to say each being is remarkable in its ability or inability to process its life and make the maximum choices from it to benefit all other beings.
There's not really, and the problem is, you know, you can't really say I'd like to become this because I believe I will make a difference to the world or whatever, because it's not that easy, is it?
No, and in actual fact, my dear friend, the fact of you making a difference to the world is a perchance. It is not a situation which is then, it's my rite of passage. Yes, it's everyone's rite of passage to make a difference to the world. How many people are given that right by those who, within whose midst they have been born?
It's almost an easier way of life, it seems to me sometimes anyway, to actually be somebody that doesn't give a care about much at all, really. Sometimes.
Yes, I understand.
Okay, you might think it's very unfulfilling from where we're sitting, maybe, or
but
maybe
that's,
not. That's a judgment.
That is a judgment.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely. Right. But, you know, hey, sometimes I think that it's, you know, a lot less stressful.
Yes, absolutely so.
Do you know
I understand
what I mean?
That. And yeah. For some people, in fact, my dear friend, I have to say, at my time of life in the early 1700s, it was not really something that we worried over. We didn't fret over, oh, what am I going to do with my life?
Yes.
I was happy.
Yeah, I know. And even though you had already started this work before you had this life, but like I say,
yes.
you you passed young, so you didn't get a chance to develop any further along that way, and that didn't make any difference, because as soon as you got back, within days or whatever, you were back in the halls of learning and carrying on.
And carrying on where I'd left off.
Absolutely.
Before I came to have a physical life.
Yeah, yeah.
So it really didn't matter.
No.
I didn't have any attitudes to deal with, you see.
No.
I was, not that I was a warming person all of the time. I didn't have a temper upon me. I was not frustrated by anything. I suppose some would say I was quite a simple soul. And I suppose in those respects, it meant that I did not take on those anxious and angry energies that other people so obviously held within themselves. I felt very sorry for them to being so angry and so negative and feeling so self-fulfilled or so pointless. I met a lot of people who actually felt pointless in respect of them wanting to make something of themselves in owning their own property, which actually hardly happened. It was most of it, it was just owned by those landed gentry who happened to be there at the time.
Yeah, okay. Well, the other part of this question from Chris is, is there another planet which is dear to your heart, which you would like to be reborn on? I know that you've lived on other planets.
Yes, yes. But really, that is, I would have to say that the planet of Earth has so much going for it. It is, I suppose, in a sense, that for thousands of years now, I have made it much of my attention to be studying the Earth and its inhabitants simply because of the nurturing skills and potential, and also the damage created, if not. And that has, in a sense, been something that has driven both myself and for many hundreds of thousands, if not millions of others, on our side of life.
Mm, yeah. You see, as some people would say, oh, well, you know, it's... you're not earthbound, but sometimes they might think...
But imprisoned in some way.
You know, if you're still messing around with the earth plane, then you can't be very ascended or whatever, and it's...
Again, that is really a matter of ego and really not understanding the mechanisms that adhere to the universe as a whole.
Well, exactly, and that's what I say, because, you know, I like to think that it's... If you're doing your best... for the planet, you know, it's your duty of care to do that, then why should it finish directly when you get to the spirit world?
Why should it only matter when you are having a human physical existence?
Yeah, exactly.
There are millions of beings on our side of life who've never had any kind of existence, and they are all around the planet of Earth, purely and simply willing those beings on and trying to give them energy of beauty and understanding so as for them to, each and every one, benefit the lives of those that you share.
Yeah. Well, this is perfect, the way this is going. Okay, I'm going to finish on this question.
Very well.
From Chris. We've got another 5 or 6 minutes.
Yeah.
When I look at the human race, I see so much beauty within the capacity of human emotion and sensitivity. Their ability to endure and overcome hardship, and their ability and courage of, I'll read my own writing here. I don't know, selfless love anyway.
Yes, yes.
What does Gregory and the White Cloud Group see as humanity's most beautiful and promising trait?
Oh, well, my dear friend. The ability to help and protect others who are unable to do so themselves. Just the same as an elephant may save a mouse or frog or some other being from a disaster impending upon it, human beings have the ability, the tenacity, the love, and the self-sacrifice to want to give of themselves in the protection of others. That takes courage. That takes a selfless state. And abiding knowledge and love to enable that gift to be transposed from self to another being without thought or regard.
So how do we go about, I mean seriously, how do we go about in getting people to connect with this aspect of what you can see and what you can sense? And Chris, you know,
yes.
I mean,
yeah,
it's, it, you know, a lot of people will be wondering, you know, what you guys are looking at, because they don't see it.
I understand that. Because humanity is at present lost in selfish emotion. The need, the greed.
Well, fearful. No,
feeling.
Most people are living in fear.
That is true too.
Yeah.
But they're living in fear because the picture has engulfed them. Rather than for human beings to just redefine their own sense of purpose. What I'm saying is that as a human state, you have allowed the knowledge of planetary state to then command all attention and defeat your energy. So now you will feel, perhaps, that despite your best intentions, you can't turn back this tide. You cannot overcome this battle. You cannot win this service simply because it has happened elsewhere upon the planet. Doesn't mean to say that you should allow yourself to become engulfed in its energy. What human beings have done thus far to date is allow for happenings and situations elsewhere upon the planet to demand their energy and for them to become engulfed by it. You are then no good, worthless. You have not the energy to deal with the situation, present the problem, and enable an understanding of how to overcome it. In just the same way as those clever fellows who had desired a completely different way of using a craft that had in actual fact been tried and tested for many years, that of a gaseous balloon, and then to enable it to actually be used to deliver goods and enormous amounts of food and aid to places that ordinary craft were not able to surface.
Go and into terrain.
Absolutely. That, there are situations where you see desire and understand disastrous consequences. You have to think laterally in order to overcome the pain that you feel as though you are moving through it yourself sufficiently to enable the progress of mind and attention to see a course of action that enables your gift of service to bear fruit for that being on the other side of the planet. You don't have to suffer it. To deal with it, you can see an ability to bring it into understanding.
To keep the momentum going and not to get drowned by...
That's right.
The negativity. Because, you see, the end of the developed world has their own fears, obviously.
Of course they do.
But, we can't underestimate the developed world and all of the problems there.
That's right.
That, you know.
And the ignorances that still continue in the developed world simply because it's at the behest of some company to do that. rather than to actually make the science and the understanding come to true light and really see it for what it is. No, we should not go along this pathway. Just because we can doesn't mean to say that we do.
But that
we should see, there should be an air of caution, perhaps investigating it over another 20 years to make sure that this product is safe. Mm. Otherwise, you are looking at the total demise of humanity and many other species who rely upon the waste products of what you give back to the earth.
Yeah, through greed. So we have to stay positive so that we can help others that can't help themselves. That's including the animals and, like I say, people in other parts of the world, really. Yeah,
yes,
and just stay positive and focused, everybody.
That's right. Absolutely so.
Goody, goody, because there's all that good stuff to come in the spirit world later.
Yes.
Isn't there?
Absolutely so.
I'll say it next week, because we run out of time.
Yes, well, very well.
Well, thank you very much.
Very well, with love and light, blessings as ever. Mm. Goodbye, dear friend. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you. We hope you've enjoyed the show. Don't forget our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com, where you can find out more about us and our work. And thank you for your questions, Chris. My name is Sylvie Avery, and you've been listening to the wonderful bbsradio.com, and this has been Spirit's Work. Until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.